Welcome into another Friends with Fantasy Benefits Prospect Minute. Today we're going to be covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, and with me is, as usual, is our lead prospect analyst, Matt Thompson. Matt, how's it going?
Good, man. I'm excited to talk about this system. It has the best nickname of any minor league prospect. We'll get to it when he comes up, but the best nickname of all the minor leagues lives here.
I'm much more excited for this team. Admittedly, we did the Red Sox show just a few minutes ago, and you know, me being a Rays fan, I just hate hearing anything about the Red Sox, so it was kind of brutal for me to get through that. So I'm happy to, you know, jump ship and go to the National League and go to the complete opposite coast and talk about the Dodgers system. So want to let everybody know where you can be reached and all of that.
Sure, MDTompFWFB, and obviously the stuff over at Prospects Live. Site's taken off this year, and if you've clicked on any of our links or read any of our stuff, I thank you.
Yes, very, very quality work. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB, and Friends with Fantasy Benefits is putting out the new draft guide, and it's doing great. It's great content. It is by far the best thing, I think, that you can grab for your drafts this year. So, definitely go and snatch that. I'm sure there's going to be promos during the show and everything. But let's talk about this Dodgers system. Who do you have number one?
Number one is Alex Verdugo. Verdugo is damn near major league ready. Probably should have gotten a shot in years past, to be honest. But you're looking at a career 309 hitter and just under 2,000 minor league at-bats. The only issue here is the rest of the fantasy skills aren't all that exciting. The power is more gap-to-gap than home runs. And I think even if he was to have a power outburst, I think he's capped at about 18 to 20 homers a season, because he hits the ball on the ground a lot, high 40s, low 50s ground ball percentages. And he's only got 16 homers and 874 PCL plate appearances. If you don't know about the Pacific Coast League, it's the second highest offensive league besides the Cal League. So if he's only got 16 home runs, that's kind of a red flag. Again, a lot of ground ball stuff. But what's going to keep him in the lineup is his defense. He's a positive defender in the outfield. He's an average runner, but he gets good jumps. Not going to be a real big base-stealing threat. He's just kind of a guy that if you have on your team, is going to be a good source of, like, you know, 15 homers, 15 steals, 300 average at peak. You know what I mean? That's fine. Melky Cabrera-type upside.
I don't know. I disagree with that because his plate skills are so good you know, like, that's really what I look for. You know, the PCL home runs, I get it. Like, it's much lower than somebody like Cody Bellinger or even Jock Peterson back when they were in the PCL. You know, we were talking about prospect looks then when, you know, those two were just hitting 30 home runs, and we were expecting that to translate to the major leagues, and it does for the most part. But with Verdugo, like, maybe he just wasn't trying to hit home runs. Like, I just don't really
– Oh, it's awesome. Good.
I mean, I just think with a full season, he could be a 15 to 20 home run guy, like, as opposed to somebody like Nomar Mazara, who got a shot way early. You know, Verdugo probably could have been given the same shot at the same age, you know, at 21 or 20, whenever, you know, Mazara was given the shot. But I just think he's much more polished than most that come out of the minor league. So, you know, maybe he is a guy that's only a 10 to 15 home run player. But at the same time, like, I don't know if we can really judge that yet.
Well, I think a couple things on that work against them. Number one, the Dodgers just signed A.J. Pollock, so that's another significant person that's going to play. And the way the Dodgers do things, they're going to have five outfielders that play three times a week, right? I mean, that's like a guy like Yasiel Puig he's much more of a talent than Verdugo, and he still didn't play every day.
They have Kiki Hernandez, Chris Taylor, and Andrew Toles is still rolling around in there. Jock Peterson's on the
Bellinger,
roster right now.
Muncy and Bellinger, I know Muncy's not an outfielder, but he's going to eat into the time because if he plays first, Bellinger's going to play outfield.
Yeah.
David Fries, like, is going to play first base against lefties, which is going to push Muncy maybe to second if he plays. And it's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. And Dodgers are the least fantasy-friendly team probably with how they
really tough.
Lot of things. But he's not going to get he's going to get enough at bats to be a contributor, but he will not quite be every day. And again, the high ground ball approach kind of cuts the power potential down at the knees.
Yeah, even with minimal time in the majors last year, he had a 62% ground ball rate, you know, and that was in less
higher than normal.
That's way higher than you want. I mean, it will yield to better batting averages because that is a correlation. You know, if you hit the ball on the ground and you hit it hard, then yeah, that's a good batting average indicator. But you know, what you're saying is right. As of right now, based on his bad ball profile and based on all of the minor league track record, he's more of a batting average and minimal power guy. But I do love plate skills, and when guys have really good plate skills, it kind of is something to be excited about for me as far as growth in the batted ball profile in the future.
Right.
But go ahead. You're the prospect guy.
No. You got it. You like plate skills, so we'll go to Gavin Lux next, my number two guy. 16.8% K rate, 11% walk rate. Lux does a little bit of everything, and I think he's the type of result that you hope for when you draft a kid out of like Jared Kelnick this year out of Wisconsin, right? A prep vet. Lux is also out of Wisconsin. This is kind of what you want when you get you ever heard the word cold weather kid? That's what they're talking about, because he plays baseball now full time, which he couldn't do when he was in high school, outdoors anyways, and the skills are starting to pop. He's potential 20 homer and 20 stolen base middle infield threat.
Is he gonna stick it short?
Probably not. But he could. He's got a better chance than the next guy we'll talk about. But I don't know, man. It's the arm that is the question. But I think with how teams shift and stuff, I think you can kind of get past the arm. But Jeter Downs will be the next guy on the list. I think he's more of a second baseman, but they both kind of have that 2020 upside. They both have superior plate skills. I take Lux over if I had to pick which one.
Yeah.
Jeter Downs is, high pull side fly ball kind of hitter, knows his game. He's quick though too. He's definitely a second baseman. I think he might even be an outfielder just because of the throwing arm, but, he's a really good defender on the infield. It's just, again, the arm for Downs. And I like both of these two. I'm going to lump them together because they're probably going to play together as they climb up the ladder. Sure. I would imagine Downs gets an aggressive assignment to Double-A. And Lux probably, even though he did pretty well at Double-A, probably repeats because the Dodgers have a pretty good Triple-A club, I would imagine. They always sign a lot of the older players to kind of hang around in AAA. So I wouldn't be surprised if at the beginning of the season Lux and Downs start together in AA. I mean, Lux is only 21, so there's no real reason to move him this aggressively. But
Lux start at short in that scenario, or do you think
Downs
would?
I think so. Yeah, okay. Definitely. I think Lux has a chance to be the shortstop of the future, because I think by the time he comes up, that should coincide with Justin Turner's contract.
About Seager, though?
And then Seager... you can push Seager to third.
Okay. Think that Seager's better... Wouldn't you think Seager's better defensively at short than Lux would be in 2 years?
Or it's hard to say with Seager, because I mean, he had the
Tommy John.
Tommy John, and it was also a hip injury too.
Yeah, that's true. So
he's already kind of had defensive questions. He's a little bit taller. They do things in unconventional ways. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but they get the most out of their guys. But I like Lux a lot. I think Lux is a guy that can pop this year. I really do.
Lux is really good. I mean, he's a really good player.
Yeah, he's a guy that can pop, starting to hit for more power, made the swing adjustment that uses the whole body, uses the lower half. And then with Downs, 10% walk rate, 37 stolen bases, 13 homers. I mean, those are all good numbers to love, right? Above average pull side pop, like I mentioned. Needs to use all fields more to have a positive hit, like a better than average hit tool. So that's something he needs to focus on. But again, he's an underrated prospect. For a guy having the first name Jeter, he's still underrated, which is not typical, right? Next up, we have Keibert Ruiz. I'm going to pour some cold water on him for fantasy. Number one, I stay away from catchers. I think we all understand why, right? And there's a couple exceptions to that rule, and Ruiz, for me, is not one of them. I do love the play skills, though. 8% K rate, but I mean, he's still aggressive at 6% walk rate, but he's the anti 3-2 outcome guy, because he will not take a walk and doesn't strike out.
You're just looking for his power to be good, though, right?
It has to develop more, yeah, and there should be more coming. It's worth noting that he's been exceptionally young every level he's been at.
Yeah, he's only 20 now. He's already going to be 20 this season.
he spent his age 19 season in Double A. He's going to turn 20 for this season, and he should be in Double A and Triple A, which is
yeah, and he had a 91% contact rate, which is really yeah. impressive. I mean, that's super impressive.
Yeah, he's a little bit athletic. He's not as good. See, it's a weird situation because there's another catcher in this system that's better than him defensively.
Yeah,
that's also at Double A, so it's hard to. It's weird. It's a weird thing for them. I think that might be the catching combo for the Dodgers in 2 years, be Ruiz and Will Smith. Because I'm not a Barnes guy. But
yeah, they have Barnes and Martin right now, and I don't know how long that's gonna last. You could, you know, talking about fluctuating positions, you could be seeing them play in the infield as well, and you know, pushing the outfield around. Another reason to throw some cold water on Verdugo.
Right. Everything, right? The Dodgers utilize everybody. They'll use the whole 40-man roster. Ruiz, though, man, like, he kind of quieted some of the defensive concerns. He's not, like I said, Will Smith is head and shoulders better defensively than Ruiz. But Ruiz is a switch hitter. He's got more power from the left side. And the ingredients here for a future plus, maybe even double plus hit tool. But the problem is he's a catcher. And catchers rarely ever utilize fully their hit tool, right? Because they're always, number one, they're not playing every day. It's hard to get the reps. And you focus on other things. So the hit tool never, when's the last catcher who had a plus hit tool that turned out? Mauer?
Yeah. As far as like really turned it out, yeah. I mean.
Right. And it's hard for catchers to get the most out of the bat. And he needs to grow into the power. And I will admit, for a catcher, the power is the last thing that normally shows up on offense like this because you're working on so many different things. He's advanced for his age. He's an interesting dynasty flyer. Just if you can hold him and don't expect he's going to make the majors before this. But like if you don't expect significant contributions for another 3 years or so, then you'll be fine. But I'm not holding a catcher that long. That's just me.
Yeah.
Now here we go to the guy with the best nickname in the minors, Dustin May. 6'6", 180-pound righty. And go on the Prospects Live page and look at our header photo for the Dodgers prospects. You can see that the flow he's got going on.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And his nickname is Ginger Guard, which I'm a big fan of. I'm a fan of that nickname.
I love it.
It's a Bronson Arroyo-type delivery. He has that big leg kick. Doesn't hit triple digits like Thor, but it's 92-95 with tremendous run and sink, like Jordan Hicksian movement on the fastball. Plus slider. Changeup will ultimately decide his ceiling, but I think even that two-pitch mix is enough to be a starter because those two pitches are that good. If the changeup comes around, he can be a number two, which puts him in a different conversation. He needs it to be an average pitch in time, and I really think it can be. He just needs more reps on it. It already shown flashes. Excellent control, less sub 5% walk rate for his entire career with a 22% K rate. So I'm a fan. The Orioles wanted Dustin May and the Machado returns, and they wouldn't give him up. So it says a lot when you won't give up a player for Manny Machado. So file that name away, Dustin May. He might be a Dodger proof starter. It means he's good enough to where they won't be messing with him like they do these other guys.
But yeah. No, he's, he's top five across the board in almost any outlet you look at. So people are definitely onto him.
Yeah, and they should be. Next guy, DJ Peters. If you like three true outcomes, this is your guy. Walks, strikeouts, and big power. Just under 50% of his plate appearances last season ended in either a home or strikeout or walk, which is kind of gnarly.
That's crazy.
6'6" with a really long swing, which is made even longer because he's got longer arms than most players due to his size. Below average hitter, but the power is at least 70. If he can get the hit tool good enough to play 40 and can get the power to translate to 60 in game, you got like a Jay Bruce type player. But, you know, that's a big if, because to get the hit tool to play to 40, he's going to need to do some work on making more consistent contact. 34% K rate is not going to cut it in Double A, regardless of how much power you have, to be honest. Because, you know, then that will project up to higher when you move up the ladder. And then you're, by the time you get to the big leagues, you're projected at like 40%, and that's not going to play. So,
yeah. That needs
to change. He does hit the ball hard. It's just a matter of He's similar to Tyler O'Neill in this aspect. He hits the ball hard when he does. He just needs to do it more frequently. He's much farther along than O'Neill, and I don't think the upside is as great as him, but he fits in that mold if you're looking for a current major leaguer to comp him to a little bit. Not the speed O'Neill has either, but like just the hitting, the batted ball profile. Tony Gonsolin, Tony G, it's another nice prospect that I like, an underrated arm, 94-96. Gets really good extension to make it play up. Over the top delivery, curveball is the best secondary pitch. High 80s slider can be its equivalent at times. It's not as consistent. He has a split change that he kind of recently developed that some scouts are saying can be his potential best pitch, even better than the fastball. He needs to improve his command to be more consistent. He needs to repeat his delivery a little bit more consistently, but he's got the frame. He just needs to show it that he can go deep in games. So I'm a really good fan of Tony Gonsolin. He's a guy I'm trying to jump in on kind of the ground floor in a sense, because he's cheaper than he's should be right now. And I think the Dodgers starting pitching prospect, you kind of get that people get a bad taste in their mouth over that right now, which I don't, I understand it, because you know, he's going to be on the DL in between starts. But I like – there's some effort in delivery, but I really like Gonsolin.
He's getting better, too.
Yeah.
Like, as his career is continuing to grow, he's continuing to grow with it, and his stuff is great. I mean, look at a couple videos right now. Dude's pretty sick. So
yeah. Don't scout the stat line, but a 2.6 ERA and a FIP just over 3 in double A. It's pretty good. Yeah.
I haven't looked at the stats. I'm just looking at his stuff. I mean, it's pretty legit.
Tulsa in double A and the Cal League in high A are two pretty tough places to pitch, and he did pretty well. So that's worth something there. Dennis Santana is a guy. He was up a little bit last year, if the name sounds familiar. He got a little cup of coffee last year, but he strained his rotator cuff just after making his debut. So he didn't pitch much in the majors, so it's hard to say. That's a scary injury, so it's hard to say if the stuff comes back all the way. Assuming he's healthy, though, he should start the year in AAA, Oklahoma City. He's got 2+ pitches, a sinking fastball and the slider. But I really, really like the changeup, too. I would argue that the changeup might be his potential best pitch that he's got, because the arm action's the same. He's got the added level of safety in the fact that he misses bats and gets ground balls, which I know we're both a fan of pitchers of that combo, which who wouldn't be, right? Adds another level of safety like we talk about. Should be less prone to the home run if you're giving up a lot of ground balls, obviously.
You don't think he's a reliever, though? Like, I've always probably him is. As reliever.
And up till early last year, he was a reliever in the minors, too.
Yeah, that's part of the reason as well, that, but
that split change kind of developed, and they threw and they're trying to make him as a starter now because of that extra pitch. So
if
that's something that can stick with him, I mean that'll be great. Because
I'm just wondering, though, since Jansen's been so volatile, especially last season, maybe they throw him in the, you know, kind of back end of the bullpen, high leverage role.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, because. You know, it's weird because I say the same thing about the White Sox system, the Florida, the Dane Dunning.
Oh, Dane Dunning. Oh, okay.
I say the same thing about Dunning because, and I'll get to the point here in a second. It's Dunning has experience as a reliever in Florida at University of Florida. He was their closer on a loaded staff, right? He did well in that role. And I think when you have experience in that role and do well, I think you're more than likely to be the guy that they choose to put in that role.
Sure, yeah.
I think your past success kind of works against you when in that kind of situation. So that could be what happens to Santana, because he's had success in the bullpen before. So I could see them doing that. But in fairness to him, he's a different pitcher than he was a few years ago. Obviously, that split change is the game changer.
If that pitch and he's long significant innings too. Sorry to interrupt you, but like as early as 2017, he logged 130-ish innings or 115-ish innings. I'm sorry. So like that tells me that they are trying to at least keep him in the rotation plans.
Yeah, definitely. So he's a guy to keep an eye on, especially for a couple of different reasons: the health and then ultimately the role. Next guy on this list is a dart throw, Carlos Rincon. He had a monster 2018 season. Go on. If you get a minute, go on Miner's Graphs, which is one of our toys over at Prospects Live. Or even if you have less time, go to the Dodgers team write-up over there and scroll down to Carlos Rincon and look for that the graph in the middle of his write-up. It's our estimated fly ball distance over the last 30 days. It's in 30-day increments. It's like a ride at Six Flags. like in reverse order. Like
yeah, start, wow. Yeah,
especially September and go down and then come back.
Yeah, especially in August, September, it just flew.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you hit 327, 427, and slug 818 over the last 29 games. So you'll get numbers like that. But the thing that there's more than that here. Obviously, there's flaws. He's massive pull approach, massive power though, but most of it pull side. The K rate was 38% in 2017. 2018, he cut it down to 26% while repeating the Cal League. So that's
wow. Shows 12, adjustments.
It does. 12% walk rate. So that'll play. But you wonder how much that – I mean, I wouldn't want to pitch to the guy either if he's hitting the ball like this. So you wonder how much of the walk rate is just, you know – he was Barry Bonds essentially in the last month of the season. So it's hard to draw too many conclusions from that. But the power, at least pull side, appears to be real. So he's kind of given himself a rebirth on prospect circles because he was a guy that popped up a few years ago and kind of disappeared because of the numbers. He didn't back him up, but this stretch was pretty nice. So, but he's an aggressive guy. He'll overswing. He even had an 18% swinging strike rate as a hitter, which is not great at all.
No, wow. Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of what we're dealing with. But he's like a DJ Peters with way more risk. So that sounds extremely
maybe
risky,
way
right?
More upside though too.
Way more upside for sure. Right. In fantasy, out of the two, I would much rather roll the dice on Rincon. Number yeah, one.
Nice name too. I like it. Rincon.
Yeah, me too.
Name there's a couple. For.
Yeah. There's a couple reasons for that though, because DJ Peters is higher up in the food chain in the minor leagues, which sounds like it should be an advantage, right? But the Dodgers have a glut of outfielders.
Yeah. No.
So it's going to be bottleneck at one point, and Rincon might be far enough down below. He's a level. He's kind of got some room as opposed to Peters, who's up against a bunch of other guys fighting for that spot. So I'll take a shot at Rincon over Peters. The aforementioned Will Smith is next. And just for fun, I looked it up. Bel Air is only a 29-mile drive to Dodger Stadium. 29-minute. So there's my corny joke for the day. But... Will Smith is one of the best defenders in the minors, regardless of the position. He happens to be a catcher. Started to grow into some power this year. Hit 20 home runs, but the only problem with that is 19 of them were while he was in Double-A, which I touched on Double-A being kind of an offensive yard for Tulsa there. So he walks at an above-average rate. He does strike out a little bit too much for a guy that I'm not sure how the power plays. I think he's predominantly... pull side power guy anyways. So they're starting to play him a little bit at third base, which is odd, but it's not because of his defensive abilities. It's because he splits time with Kiba Ruiz. And they don't necessarily have the DH. Minor league DH rules are weird. Like, it's not cut and dry. Some series, you have a DH. Like when the Dodgers are obviously an NL team. When they're in Double-A and they play on the road against, like, the Texas Rangers affiliate, which is an American League team, they'll have a DH for those games.
Oh, wow. So, but yeah, that's super odd. I wonder, though, like, do they trade Will Smith or Kyler Ruiz at some point? Because I don't know if they need both of them, you know?
I think the plan would be to use both of them in a tandem.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. Because I'm not a Barnes guy. I'm not.
No, I'm not either.
I couldn't believe the hype he was getting last year. And now he has a starting role, and you can pretty much get him for free, I feel like.
Kind of, though, because
Martin's going to play most backups, right. Will Smith, though, and Ruiz together should form a pretty decent production as a catcher. But, again, for fantasy, that might be a situation you want to avoid. But that's just me speculating. But 25% K rate, 10-11% walk rate, so OBP league, bump him up. But Will Smith's kind of interesting in that.
The 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide, The Fantasy Benefit, is the largest and most complete fantasy draft guide on the market. with featured writers from Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Baseball HQ, Baseball Prospectus, and Fangraphs, and many more. You will get tons of information on how to start your own league, draft strategies for Roto, points, categories, NFBC, best ball, and DFS. There are tiers for every position, and 30 team previews, including 30 team prospect previews, breaking down the top prospects from each team. There are ranks for every position, for prospects, for first-year player drafts. This is the most in-depth guide that fantasy baseball has to offer. And not only that, we'll be updating it all draft season in the ebook and PDF. You can get this on Amazon.com in ebook form for $7.50 or in paperback for $13.99. Don't want an ebook? Don't want a paperback? Just want a PDF? You can order it by emailing friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com and I will send you an updated copy every week until the start of opening day. Get your 2019 Friends of Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide called The Fantasy Benefit today.
Jaron Kendall, Vanderbilt guy, so right down the road from you.
Yep, seen him.
Weird profile. Too much swing and miss, not enough consistent contact. Has the speed and power to be intriguing. But, well, he's growing into the power a little bit more. But he has the speed to definitely be intriguing. But he makes a lot of adjustments. And he doesn't use his lower half in his swing at all, so that needs to change. But if he can be 40 hit, 45 power, he can be a productive major leaguer because of the defense. So, again, though, I don't know if that type of player plays on the Dodgers, but that type of player can play on other teams. You know what I mean? The Dodgers are a little bit – they're not looking for the second division guys like Kendall. Mitchell White, back-end starter with some good stuff. Could be up this year. Josiah Gray, Division II arm they picked up from the Reds in that Puig trade with Jeter Downs. Throws hard. The off-speed stuff is immature. Came out of LeMoyne, so obviously not a very big baseball powerhouse there. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's got a track. Yadier Alvarez is a reliever all the way for me, but he's one that throws hard and could factor himself into high-leverage roles because outside of Kenley Jansen and the newly added Joe Kelly, there's a lot of fungible assets in the bullpen. I mean,
They don't have much. I mean, depending on what they do with Julio Urias, you know, you're looking at like the Scott Alexanders, Pedro Baez, Yimi Garcias, like that's
serviceable, but not back end guys. Right. Yeah.
So I mean, maybe even above Dennis Santana, who, you know, we said possibly could still be a starter and looks like they're trying to continue to run as a starter. Like maybe somebody like Alvarez, who is definitely a reliever, gets the kind of, maybe he gets the proverbial like start of the season in the pen, and then if things go well, they start to like move him into, you know, the seventh, eighth inning, wherever they see fit. You know, who knows how it goes, but he does have pretty good stuff.
Or he could be the multi-inning reliever. You never know. Sure. They don't have one of those. So Connor Wong is another interesting guy, another catcher, athletic guy. He's kind of the Austin Barnes that can actually hit, but he's in the low minors, so we'll see. Diego Cartaya is a 17-year-old. We'll be 17 next year. Catch the number one catcher in this year's international class. So you can tell I'm not very enthusiastic.
Signed for like $3 million, right? Or something like that.
Two and a half. Yeah. Future 50-50 hit and power, but like see you in like 6 years. So I'll take my time. I'll wait on Cartaya. Michael Grove was a Tommy John guy that they drafted this year. Braden Fisher, another guy they picked up this year, sits 92, 94, touches 96 with the fastball. Good sleeper guy to watch. Kid out of Texas University or Texas Prep. Had a scholarship to Texas, but went to sign with the Dodgers instead. Julian Smith was a late round guy that they picked up. 15th round JUCO draftee that looks really, really good. Should be a mid rotation arm. Let's see. There's a couple other guys. Jacob Amaya is a good hit tool second baseman. Edwin Rios, Matt Beattie, first third base type, second hit. Played approach concerns for both of these guys. Kind of the definition of a quad A guy. Edwin Rios is the guy that if a major league bench bat, if he doesn't turn into something like that, or he doesn't get traded to somewhere like Detroit and can be the starting first baseman, somewhere like that.
I think he should get DH somewhere, honestly.
Definitely. I could see Rios having a monster career in Japan if all things don't work out here. But he's also, it's a weird because I have nothing to base this off of, but just watching him. But he gives off a strong Jose Martinez vibe Cardinals. Kind of
unorthodox. Not nearly as good of a hitter. I mean,
right. No, no, you're right. The hit tool isn't there, but I think the power is better.
Yeah.
And he's kind of the guy that's underappreciated, kind of tall, lanky guy that hasn't fully – you think he's going to fill out to grow more power, but hasn't yet. He's a weird profile. That's just a hunch I have. I'm not basing it off anything. That's just a gut feel. Miguel Vargas is a Cuban defector. Exploded on the scene with a strong pioneer-level numbers when he hit 400, 464, 592 in 30 games in the AZL in the Pioneer League. Went to the Midwest League and hit about the opposite, 213, 307, 253. So brought the numbers back down, but he's an interesting guy to follow this year. Edwin Uceda is an interesting arm. Let's see. That about covers it, man. Dodgers are it's an intriguing system with a lot of utility, meaning you can find a lot of useful roles with guys. I just don't think there's a star here.
Yeah, but I can agree with that. I mean, there's possibilities for stars and like Rincon if things worked out. Maybe even Gavin Lux, too.
Lux is his best chance to be a star. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Verdugo, I'd say, is probably a solid major leaguer, not a star.
Yeah. Same Verdugo, probably Kyber I count Ruiz. Him to like Melky Cabrera. So like think a player like that.
Dustin May could end up being a ace level pitcher at some point, possibly.
Sure. Yep. May and Lux for sure are the two guys that, if you want upside, those are the two guys I'm grabbing. And Jeter Downs is in the conversation, but May and Lux are the two I want.
All right. Well, let's tie a bow on this thing. Once again, you can reach me on Twitter at Mike Warner, FWB, FB. Check out everything on the site and especially the draft guide. Matt, give your shout out again.
Yeah, Prospects Live. You can find my stuff in the Defensive Fantasy Benefits Draft Guide as well. Hit me up on Twitter, MDTompFWFB. And thanks for joining us. This is one of the last Prospect Minutes, so thanks for listening to all these all year. And I know 60 pods in 60 days can be a lot on your in 30 days can be a lot on your
feed. Yeah.
On your feed, but thanks for sticking it out because I feel like they're useful content, especially if you play Dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I know it's a lot, but still it's, you know, it gives you a kind of a leg up. It's only January. Kind of gives you an idea of whatever team, not just the major league teams looking like, but also the prospect minutes. The prospect minutes are by far the most popular side of it just because it always gives a lot of guys that people don't know about and gives a lot of info people don't know about either. So, all right, let's wrap this thing up. Thank you for Matt and myself. Thank you for listening and good luck in your upcoming drafts.